Good morning. The Board of Supervisors is now in session. Would everyone please rise and join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have any changes to the agenda read, please?
Changes to a day's agenda is amended items hearing C2, hearing to consider a contract with Aircon Energy, Inc. in the amount of $7,432,980 for the design and installation of an infrastructure improvements and interior renovations for the former General Hospital facility. Recommend approval and instruct chairperson and general services director to sign. The recommendation on the cover sheet is incorrect and needs to be amended to read, recommend approval and instruct chairperson to sign. Item C3 is a hearing to consider an appeal of the South County Road Improvement Fees by Peter Malley for a property located at 425 Victory Way in the city of Arroyo Grande, 4th District. Recommend denial of the appeal. Staff is requesting the cover sheet be amended to reflect the property is located at 425 Victory Way in the South County Road Fee area. Amended items on consent is item B3, submittal from Public Works of a resolution of intention of the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District to annex tract 2494 in the county to flood control zone 16 for the purpose of drainage basin management or maintenance, 4th District. Recommend approval and instruct chairperson to sign and instruct clerk to give notice of hearing set for December 20th, 2005 at 9 a.m. Pages B3-10 and B3-13 were inadvertently added to the staff report. Staff is requesting that pages 10 through 13 be omitted from the report. Added items on consent is B16, request to approve, one, a contract clerks filed in the amount of $30,000 for fiscal year 2005-2006 for Value Options, Inc. to provide Medi-Cal specialty mental health services to children placed in group homes and other placement out of the county, and two, a budget adjustment in the amount of $30,000 for the Mental Health Managed Care Trust Fund. Recommend approval and instruct chairperson to sign. All requirements of the Brown Act have been satisfied as this notice was posted prior to the 72-hour noticing requirement. And those are the changes for today.
Thank you very much. We will move on to the presentation calendar before anybody moves to approve. I want to rearrange the presentation calendar and do the number C first. There's someone who wishes to make a comment on number B who is stuck on the grade. And so I'm putting off number B as long as I can in the hopes that that will change. Okay, we have a motion to approve the presentation calendar.
Make a motion.
Second.
May we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Linthal?
Aye.
Mr. Asajian?
Aye.
Mr. Ovitt?
Aye.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mrs. Bianchi?
Yes. With that, Mr. Linthal.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would our District Attorney, Jerry Shea, please step up to the podium? It's a real honor to read this resolution. And also, before I do that, to compliment not only Jerry Shea, but the District Attorney's Office and his staff for the great work that they do with respect especially to domestic violence. And I've said this before, but in my previous life, I've seen firsthand the good things that they have done and they continue to do. And I'm still in awe at all the things that you do. So with that, I would like to read this resolution designating October 2005 as San Luis Obispo County Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Whereas the Domestic Violence Task Force has adopted the local name and theme, Every Home, a Safe Home, and whereas an estimated 4 million women each year in our country are victims of intimate partner abuse, and an estimated 3.3 million children witness domestic violence in their home each and every year. Whereas approximately a quarter of all crime victims served by the San Luis Obispo County District Attorney Victim Witness Center are victims of domestic violence. And whereas our county's women's shelter provides over 7,800 nights of shelter to victims last year alone, with over 60% being children. And I think that's phenomenal. That's 7,800 nights. That's a lot of people in a lot of stays. And finally, whereas our community's awareness and intolerance of domestic violence and child abuse will help ensure the safety and health of our families and homes, now therefore be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors designates October 2005 as San Luis Obispo County Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
And if you would like to make a few comments.
Madam Chair, members of the board, Jerry Shea, District Attorney, thank you very much for this resolution proclaiming October as Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Some of you may know that a few months ago, the Attorney General of the State of California issued a report on domestic violence. Some of the information in there was promising, but there were some gaps that the Attorney General's office mentioned in terms of statewide services to victims. And one of the sort of overreaching or overarching recommendations that the Attorney General's office made to address some of those gaps was that the leaders of various agencies in each county, such as the court, the district attorney, the sheriff's office, the police departments, women's shelters, batterers programs, and so forth, should convene on an ongoing basis to identify and address domestic violence issues through coordinated group action. And I can tell you that in San Luis Obispo County over the last 11 years, the Domestic Violence Task Force has done just that. We've convened every other month to address these issues, to communicate, to collaborate, and to work together. And I think we're very fortunate in this county to have a group of representatives from all these different organizations that have done so over the last 11 years to address these issues. Two quick notes about Domestic Violence Awareness Month, if I may. The first one is that the County Medical Society, along with the task force and the University of California at Davis Medical School, will be presenting a program entitled How Domestic Violence Hurts Your Patients and Your Practice to the County Medical Society a week from Wednesday at the Embassy Suites from 6 to 9 p.m. The other event is the fourth annual Family Fun Fest, which is going to be co-sponsored by the Domestic Violence Task Force, the Women's Shelter here in San Luis Obispo, and the North County Women's Shelter as well. It will be this Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. at Farmers Market on Garden Street. And here to talk about that is Beth Robb from the San Luis Obispo County Women's Shelter.
Good morning.
And you can pull that microphone up.
Oh,
so you,
is that better?
Easier for you to speak.
There we go. Good morning. If I put this right here, can the camera? There we go. This is just our poster, basically, for the Family Fun Fest. This is the fourth annual. We have a lot of fun, and the concept is for the Domestic Violence Task Force, that providers can get out into the community. And the providers, we have different children's activities there, so families can come and just see that there are resources for domestic violence, because our goal really is to make every home in San Luis Obispo County a safe home. And so it will be on Garden Street, right off Higuera, during Farmers Market from 6 to 8. And Slow Symphony Petting Zoo will be there, and all the providers. So if you need to come down and get information about domestic violence, or if somebody would like to come down and talk to somebody, we're there, and we'll have all of our information needed. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry. Lindsay's going to pass these out. Those are just some little bags, and we do have in domestic violence magnets in them for you that we're hoping to pass out. Yes, my name's Beth Robb. I'm with the Women's Shelter Program, San Luis. Oh, Robb is spelled R-A-U-B. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Does that conclude your...
That does. Thanks again for the proclamation, the resolution, and the kind words. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. With that, we will move on to the resolution proclaiming October 2 through 8 as National 4-H Week. If Mr. Enfield and his 4-Hers would like to come to the microphone.
Good
This is the resolution proclaiming October 2 through 8, 2005 as National 4-H Week. The following resolution is hereby offered and read. Whereas connecting youth and adults to work together through volunteer service does strengthen and build communities. And whereas more than 7 million youth across America touch and enhance the lives of others during National 4-H Week and throughout the year by doing good, by giving where there is a need, teaching where there was a desire to learn, and inspiring others in their communities. And whereas 4-H has been helping youth and adults learn, grow, and work together for more than 100 years. And whereas 4-H youth, volunteers, and cooperative extension staff have joined forces to promote a week of national recognition of collaborative volunteer community service. Now, therefore, be it resolved and ordered that the Board of Supervisors does hereby proclaim the week of October 2 through 8, 2005 as National 4-H Week, with the theme of Make the 4-H Connection in recognition of the fine achievements of over 1,500 San Luis Obispo County 4-H members and their families, and tens of thousands of past 4-Hers and their families, and to acknowledge the contributions of more than 350 San Luis Obispo County adult 4-H leaders who volunteer their time and skills to the program. And if you would all like to make some comments.
Yes.
Madam Chair, other members of the board, thank you very much. And as usual, I'd like to turn it over to the brand new 4-H All-Stars for a little presentation.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Richard Enfield, County Director, 4-H Youth Development Advisor at the University of California Cooperative Extension.
Madam Chairman and other members of the board.
And you each have to give your names for the record as you start.
My name is Rihanna Martinez from Cerro Alto 4-H Club. Madam Chairman and other members of the board, we are the new 2005-2006 San Luis Obispo County 4-H All-Stars, which is the highest rank that a 4-H member can achieve in a county. My name is Rihanna Martinez. I live in Santa Margarita. I'm a member of the Cerro Alto 4-H Club, and I've been in 4-H for 5 years. Thank you.
My name is Lauren Alvarado. I live in Aurora Grande, and I have been a member of the El Camino 4-H Club for 6 years.
My name is Erin Becker. I live in Tumbleton, and I've been a member of the Tumbleton 4-H Club for 9 years.
My name is Amanda Clark. I live in Atascadero, and I've been a member of Santa Margarita 4-H Club for 6 years.
My name is Erin Wessel. I live in Atascadero, and I am currently a member of the Templeton 4-H Club. I have been in 4-H for 7 years. We are here today to thank the board for recognizing and honoring the many thousands of present and past 4-H members and leaders in our wonderful county by proclaiming this week as National 4-H Week in San Luis Obispo County.
The San Luis Obispo County 4-H Youth Development Program has a rich history, with the first 4-H club in our county having been formed in the mid-1920s in the Edna Valley. There are over 30 4-H clubs throughout the county today.
We also would like the board to approve the flying of the 4-H flag at the Government Center during National 4-H Week.
On behalf of the 1,500 4-H members and almost 400 volunteer 4-H leaders in San Luis Obispo County, we would like to thank you for your support of the positive youth development through research-based 4-H programming. We would hope you accept our token of our appreciation. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, before they go away, the 4-H mom is trying to take pictures. What we can do is have the 4-H folks come up front here and line up and give you a moment to take a good picture.
Okay.
Olaf, you take the picture. We'll take the flag.
Bob is here to take the flag.
We'll take it. Oh, is he
going to
fly it?
Sure.
Is everybody in?
Be sure Jerry's head in it.
Yeah. It's hard when he gets cut off.
Surely I'd like to make a comment.
He gets upset.
Before you run off, I have a quick question. Could you tell us what 4-H stands for? Didn't mean to put you on the spot. I'm just a former 4-H'er myself, and I thought it might be good for people to know.
The 4-H's stand for head, hands, heart, and health.
Great. Thank you.
And thank you all very much. And thank you, Mr. Enfield. Don't go away. The next resolution is hereby offered and read, whereas Richard Enfield serves as the 4-H Youth Development Advisor for the University of California Cooperative Extension, UCCE, in San Luis Obispo County and has so for 25 years, and whereas in fiscal year 2004-05, the San Luis Obispo County 4-H Club program achieved the highest member enrollment in the state of California for the first time. And that is. And whereas Richard Enfield provided education, support, and encouragement to 4-H Club adult volunteer leaders, youth members, and 4-H staff, now, therefore, be it resolved and ordered that the Board of Supervisors does hereby commend Richard Enfield for his exemplary contributions to the youth of San Luis Obispo County. So.
Madam Chair, other members of the board, once again, Richard Enfield, County Director and 4-H Youth Development Advisor with University of California Cooperative Extension. Thank you very much for your recognition and support. I've been so fortunate over the past 25 years to be in the same position that I absolutely love. And I know some of you have heard me say that before, but it doesn't hurt to say it again. I appreciate all the support that the board and the county has given to our organization and the 4-H program over the years since I've been here and for many years before. I'd like to accept this on behalf of all the 4-H volunteers and the 4-H members over the years, and I can't even count how many leaders, volunteer leaders and members I've worked with, but that's been the best thing about my position over the past 25 years, to work with the dedicated adult volunteers. And I will just say, we had our 4-H Achievement Night a couple of weeks ago, and we recognized a woman in San Luis Obispo who had just celebrated her 45th volunteer year with the 4-H program in our county, and we have many volunteers like that. So on behalf of all the leaders over the years, all the thousands, tens of thousands of 4-H members over the years, once again, I thank you for your recognition and support. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I believe there are other members in the audience who wish to say something. So there you go, Richard. Because I received two phone calls this morning. I'm stuck on the grade.
All right. It's before you get to the grade.
Thank you. Thanks to everyone for changing your schedule a little bit this morning. And your name for the record. I know who you are, but I figured you'd get that part. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. I'm Mary Bianchi, Horticulture and Water Advisor for the University of California Cooperative Extension in San Luis Obispo County. Life shrinks and expands in proportion to one's courage. In order for our children to have the courage to expand their lives, our community must have the tools that help teach life skills that will enable them to achieve. Richard is being recognized today for the success of the 4-H Club program. His commitment to our children goes far beyond our community. Richard has worked with partners throughout the county, throughout the state, and nationally in research and curriculum development for family science programs and in youth asset development. Just for example, the Ridges to Rivers Watershed Explorations are a set of hands-on activities that are designed to teach young people not only about watershed concepts and awareness of the land as a watershed, but also encourage exploration of surface water pollution, movement, and contamination of groundwater, and also what kids can do to help. The Slow Scientist Club that Richard has developed improves critical thinking and family dynamics. More than 500 individuals have participated in the program since its inception. Children and their adult partners reported that they spent more time on such things as observing and experimenting, as well as talking with family members and not just about science. Richard works with local youth leaders on youth asset development programs that promote, among other things, a commitment to learning, positive identity, social competency, and positive values. And through work with our young leaders, Richard has helped to promote institutional and organizational system changes that have led to greater community attention and awareness, youth participation and empowerment. And these programs are models not just for our community, but other communities in the nation, state and nation. Richard is also a great colleague and friend to those of us in the Cooperative Extension Office, and not above the occasional good April Fool's joke, including convincing me at one point that our office had acquired a voice-activated fax machine. Can you hear me now? I'm grateful to your board for recognizing the 4-H Club volunteers and our local 4-H staff, Jill Garcia and Cindy Hansen, among others. I'm proud to represent our Cooperative Extension Office in honoring Richard for 25 years of service to our University of California, to our local 4-H Club members, and to the real wealth of our county and our country, our children. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Those are great comments. Mr. Ovitt.
Thank you. I was going to say something, I don't know, about Richard being there so long, but I think the one thing you can epitomize, and I know Spianky just said that too, is that I carry a key ring, the 4-H key ring, and it's huge. Now, the only reason I carry it is so I don't lose the key. But I happen to be driving a truck, and the other day somebody saw it, and it's typical of the stories I get. Oh, my daughter's going to get into, or my son's going to get into 4-H because they went over to a friend's house and they're helping them feed. And so many people just think 4-H is with animals, but 4-H, as you say, with the 4-H's, touches all parts of life. And it's been one of those tremendous programs. And I know from all the different youth organizations I've been involved in, again, it's just one more of those things that keeps that family and community together. And I think to the volunteers and to Rich Time, you know, I can't say any more than just thank you, and I think it's the greatest thing that's ever going.
Okay, with that, I'd like to make a comment that, you know, we read in the paper and hear on the news all about how rotten kids are these days. But thanks to Richard, they are not. The kids are good, and we don't hear and read about Richard Enfield's kids and the 4-H kids. And it's to Richard's credit and to the volunteers' credit that we don't read about these kids, but they're there. And we're very proud of Richard, the volunteers, and the 4-H'ers, very much so.
Thank you once again.
With that, concludes our presentation calendar for today. And we move on into public comment. I have three requests to speak forms. Where's the other one? There we go. The first is Jesse Arnold, followed by Eric Greening, followed by Katarina Colum.
Nobody from
Colomarino. I got it.
Good morning, Chairman Bianchi and members of the board. I'm here this morning to speak in honor of the humble black-eyed pea. And I would like to nominate the black-eyed pea as the poster child for resistance to genetic engineering. Because I've given you the seeds of doubt reprint from the Sacramento Bee, and it tells the story in there of how the researchers or genetic engineers at UC Davis have been trying to genetically engineer the black-eyed pea. They've spent $400,000 trying, and they haven't succeeded. The black-eyed pea resists. It won't take the foreign gene, or if they get it in there, the plant won't grow. So I say three cheers for the black-eyed pea. Good for it, and may it enjoy many long years free of genetic engineering. But at the least, this should give us pause to read things like Seeds of Doubt, pause and consider where genetic engineering is going to take us, and consider why all the countries in Africa, this black-eyed pea is a staple crop in Africa, why all those countries are rejecting genetic engineering, all except South Africa. And why is UC Davis trying to genetically engineer a plant that doesn't want to be genetically engineered for use in Africa when none of the countries there want it? Why should UC Davis be trying to set ag policy for Africa? Would we like it if Africa, if an African country was setting up a lab and engineering a plant that they want us to grow? Isn't there something wrong with this picture? Come on. So anyway, I hope you will all read your Seeds of Doubt article. There are lots of food for thought in there. And at the least, I think it should convince you that there should be labeling of genetically engineered crops. And I have a packet of black-eyed peas for each of you. And it is a wholesome and nutritious food, high in protein. And if you don't want to eat them, I hope you will pass them on to the homeless or someone who can use them. Thank you very much.
And thank you for your comments. Eric Greening, followed by Catherine Colomarino.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Eric Greening with several topics to run through. I do hope you enjoy your black-eyed peas. They are wonderful. And 4-H'ers are learning about whole systems and how we depend on other organisms for our lives, and I hope that you will listen to their wisdom rather than the non-wisdom of giant corporations with pecuniary interests in diverting our food chain into their profits. I also will say in advance that I endorse whatever Katrine is going to say, that I hope we recognize Arts Day, even if not timely. In fact, I hope we recognize Arts Day 365 days a year, except on leap year. And I hope that you will take advantage of the opportunity to visit our artists in their studios later this month. A couple of other topics. Rural Plan Development Ordinance. I've heard that a meeting is planned for all 10 local advisory committees, plus Ag Liaison, the Water Resources Advisory Committee, and interested public to receive a presentation on the RPD and get questions answered. My concern is that one meeting may not be enough for everyone to get those questions answered, and I hope that we'll be looking at being able to schedule a backup session if needed, before the RPD goes anywhere. I'm not even sure the room will be big enough for all the people that are invited, but I guess it's like overbooking on an airline. Second topic, now that the election results in Los Osos are leading to the seating of a new CSD board with new instructions from the public, the county needs to be able to quickly get to work with the new board. Two issues that require close interface are the habitat conservation plan, on which the county is now a co-applicant, and the earworm, Integrated Regional Water Master Plan, where flexibility to stay abreast of the evolving project description of the wastewater treatment plant is essential to the hope of using the document to help the beleaguered community access state funds for its system. Related topic, the lack of a completed HCP in Los Osos and other uncertainties there are the reason likely that the whole Estero area plan is stuck on Steve Monowitz's desk. It may take a long time to resolve Los Osos issues. In the meantime, Cayucas is held hostage to a delay not of its making. Its citizens labored in good faith to work out a plan they would like to be using to implement their vision for the community. I'm asking you to agendize an item where you would indicate your desire to separate the two areas in at the Estero Plan and petition the Coastal Commission to do likewise so that Cayucas can move forward and not be tied to Los Osos any longer. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Catherine Colomarino.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the board. I'm delighted to be here today to participate in public comment. I'm Katrin Colomarino, the Executive Director of the San Luis Obispo County Arts Council, and we support the artists who work in the county, and we help to promote art and to help the children whose education we try to supplement with field trips to arts venues. So those are the folks, the artists, the children, the people who look at art that we support. This morning, I'm speaking to emphasize the arts in our county since, as Eric said, October 7th is California Arts Day throughout the state. And I liked his comment about the fact that Arts Day shouldn't just be one day, but either 365 or 366 days. This is a day when formally the California government and people in California recognize and focus on arts in California. The San Luis Obispo County Arts Council wants to echo this message and encourage all persons in our county to support visual, literary, and performing arts in this county. Many recent studies, including one recently published by the President's Committee on Arts and Humanities, have shown again and again that arts education develops essential skills that span the curriculum for children, including risk-taking, team problem-solving, out-of-the-box thinking, creativity, perception, and imagination. Research has also found a significant relationship between children involved in expansive arts programs and increased creative, cognitive, and personal skills needed for academic success. The Arts Council here in San Luis Obispo County, through its Art Ops for Schools program, raises funds to send kindergarten through 12 children in our county to arts venues such as the PAC, Hearst Castle, California Museums. We really care about the impact of the arts on our kids and try to help. In the last 4 years, the Arts Council has, through this program, awarded over $78,000 to county schools to provide transportation and tickets to those arts venues for over 25,000 students. And every year, we apply for public and private grant monies to ensure that this program is funded. And as you know, it's tough right now. We really appreciate all the support from the county and the city for our programs, always. But private granting, and particularly granting from the state of California, particularly state of California granting, has decreased to almost nil. The California Arts Council, in its 2004 Economic Impact Study, now released, reveals that the nonprofit arts are, quote, a vibrant economic engine for the state that creates 160,000-plus jobs, which pay $2.7 billion, generate $300 million in state and local taxes, spend $2.2 billion, including direct expenditures from wages and benefits to goods and services, and most importantly, attract 71.2 million people and 6 million tourists in the state, which impact the economy just under $1 billion.
And your time is up.
Okay. I just want to thank you again, tell you about Open Studios. I have a catalog for each of you. October 15th and 16th, South County. North County, October 22nd to 23rd. May I give out the catalogs?
Yes, you may.
Thank you so much.
And Michael Wynn.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Supervisors. I apologize for jumping on the public comment wagon so late, but...
That's okay.
I did hear a comment from Mr. Greening, who is a solid member of the Water Resource Advisory Committee, and he was referring to the same concern that I had as to whether our earworm application for Prop 50 monies could be applied to Los Osos if it were altered in some significant way. After conversations with your staff and with and others, we were told very clearly the state would not allow us to modify the application, that it simply must remain in the form that we've submitted it. But even if those monies could not be spent, if the state of California takes over the project and pushes it themselves, the funding could still be used for that purpose. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. That concludes the number of slips that I have for public comment. and I see no one else coming forward. So with that, I will close it to the public for public comment and move to the consent agenda. And I have no request to speak forms for the consent agenda. And I see no one coming forward, so I'll close it to the public for consent. Mr. Ovitt, do you have any items to pull?
No, Madam Chair.
Mr. Patterson?
No, ma'am.
Mr. Lenthal?
No, Madam Chair.
Mr. Hoshajan?
Not at this time. Do you have any?
No, I have not a one.
I move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
May we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Hoshajan?
Aye.
Mr. Ovitt?
Aye.
Mr. Lenthal?
Aye.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mrs. Bianchi?
Yes. With that, we will go to our public hearing section. May we have an introduction of item C1, please?
Item C1 is a hearing to consider a request to change the county boundary in order to move a portion of Sway Ranch from San Luis Obispo County into Santa Barbara County. Recommend denial.
May we have a staff report, please?
Good morning. I'm Dan Buckshy from the Administrative Office. Myself and John Ufrat from County Planning and Building are here to present some information regarding a proposal to change the county boundary. Also in the audience this morning are representatives from the Sheriff's Department, County Fire, the Agricultural Commissioner's Office, and LAFCO to help answer any questions that may arise and to provide any details as needed. Starting off with a bit of background information, on July 13th of this year, the landowners H.D. and Carol Parrott filed a petition to change the county boundary line. The stated purpose for the petition was improved municipal services, more specifically police and fire. And the proposal is to move approximately 4,700 acres from San Luis Obispo to Santa Barbara County. A bit more background, the area in which the 4,700 acres resides is in Sway Ranch. The total ranch is approximately 37,000 acres, of which 19,000 reside here in this county and 18,000 in Santa Barbara County. So for the location of the property, we have a few maps that John Ufrat is going to walk us through in order to provide some explanation.
Thank you. John Ufrat, County Planning Staff. The first map that's in front of you shows the property, and it's in red. And just for orientation, the Highway 101 and 166 are right where the cursor is because it gets a little confusing with all the lines here. The existing county boundary, though, follows the river, which is, let me get this, right here. And goes down here. And then, of course, the request is to change that line into Santa Barbara County and make the red into Santa Barbara. The next slide, and then... Next slide shows the applicant's property, which is right here, which is the 4,700 acres that we just discussed. The applicant also owns and is an ag preserve, actually, for the blue properties that are in this county. And then the properties in green are also owned by the applicant. This is how you get to the 37,000 acres, but that's entirely in Santa Barbara, the green. And then this... last map kind of just shows the proximity and what the area is like. It's raised in elevation as you get over the river into this area. It's a little bit higher and kind of above the bluffs that you can see from the freeway, which is back over here. Again, this is the river. And then this is the 4,700 acres being proposed to be shifted outside the county. You can see its proximity to the city of Santa Maria, which is right over here. This is the developed area of the kind of the northeast section of the city, so it's rather close. There is a county-maintained road, which is Bull Canyon Road, that there is a bridge that goes over the river right here into the city of Santa Maria. And, of course, you know, the bridge is maintained by the Santa Barbara County, I believe, and then on the parts that are in the county, and then the city as it drops into the city. And the actual production that we'll talk about in a few minutes occurs within the site. There's a lot of ag production, mostly, and the ag commissioner hears if you have questions, but it's a lot of avocados, vegetables, and lemons. So with that,
okay.
Mr. Buckshaw, we'll go back into some of the process.
Okay. So this proposal the petition itself is defined as a minor boundary change, and there are some very specific government codes which guide the process for a minor boundary change. As you can see listed here, those are government codes 23,200 to 23,220. The process requires that the county clerk certify the petition, which occurred on July 25th. It also specifies that a hearing must be noticed within 30 days of the certification, which occurred August 9th, and that a hearing must occur within 60 days of the notice, which is obviously occurring right now. Another important point from this, for this process is that the hearing may be continued for no more than 45 days from today, and that a decision to either approve or deny the request must be made within 45 days. In terms of procedure to either approve or deny the request, if the board were to deny, the process would be to file a written protest and to adopt a resolution to abandon the proposal. In order to approve the request, the board would not file the written protest nor adopt a resolution, which would essentially then approve the request by not signing the other two documents or approving the other two documents. Within 30 days then from today, both counties would have to approve an ordinance that are very similar in nature in order to finalize the agreement. In terms of the definition of a minor boundary change, the boundary line must not move more than 5 miles. The land area may not be reduced by more than 5%, and the population must not be reduced by more than 5%. Anything greater than these three stipulations would be considered a major boundary change, and that process is very different. That requires that the governor appoint a special commission, a very thorough economic study be conducted, and that a vote go before the voters. There are several considerations to keep in mind as we discuss this process, and the first of which is sheriff services. The landowners have stated that there's a significant amount of agricultural crime that is occurring on the property, and that the property would be better served by the sheriff's department in Santa Barbara County. The San Luis Obispo County Sheriff does acknowledge that some agricultural crime has occurred on the property, but does not believe that the level of crime is any worse than the surrounding areas. Additionally, the two new agricultural crime deputies were added to the sheriff's department a couple of weeks ago, which brings the county total to three. There will be one deputy focused and dedicated to the South County, one to the central regions of the county, and a third to the North County. And as such, it is believed by county staff and the sheriff that the property would not be better protected in Santa Barbara County. The next consideration is fire services. As listed in the petition, it's believed that fire services would be better provided by Santa Barbara County. In fact, the actual fire response time is better from San Luis Obispo County than it would be in Santa Barbara County. The county fire can reach the northern portions of the property within 10 minutes, whereas Santa Barbara County fire cannot reach any portions of the property within 10 minutes. However, these points are somewhat irrelevant given the mutual aid agreement that the counties and various cities have in place. It's most likely that the city of Santa Maria would be the first responder, regardless of which county the property resides. Some land issues for consideration. The 4,700 acres proposed are not under Williamson contract. The remaining approximately 32,000 acres are in Williamson contract. The change to the boundary line would create a convoluted line, and agricultural inspections and quarantines between the two counties would be a bit more difficult to coordinate. The current boundary, as John referenced on the maps earlier, follows the Santa Maria and Cuyama Rivers, and the proposed boundary line would not. This land is designated as an extractive resource area in the general plan, and the property has significant mineral deposits, primarily sand and gravel, and if this change were to occur, the property would no longer be included in the county's general plan. With respect to the California Environmental Quality Act, which is commonly referred to as CEQA, it is believed that the project as proposed per the petition is not applicable, that CEQA is not applicable at this point because it does not meet the definition of a project per CEQA guidelines. The reason being that the proposal does not indicate a change in the type of land use. However, per the board's discretion, it could be required that an environmental analysis be conducted. With respect to the future of the property, if the boundary change were approved, all land use decisions would be made by Santa Barbara County, all future land use decisions. However, the land would be surrounded by San Luis Obispo County on three sides, and it would be likely that residents of the San Luis Obispo County would be impacted by any future land use decisions made by Santa Barbara County. And also, if it were so desired, once in Santa Barbara County, the property could be annexed into the city of Santa Maria. Another future consideration is that of Mission County. The boundaries for the proposed Mission County are set, and the issue is going to the voters in June of 2006. If this boundary change were approved, and if Mission County were approved, the land would remain in Santa Barbara County and would be isolated between San Luis Obispo and Mission counties. This could be rectified in the future, if so desired, by Santa Barbara and Mission counties doing another boundary change adjustment. And the final issue for consideration is the financial impact. The current assessed value of the property is about $10.5 million, and county departments, agencies, schools, and special districts receive approximately $106,000 of annual property tax. It is likely that between $31,000 and approximately $51,000 of the annual property taxes to San Luis Obispo County departments, agencies, and districts would be lost. It's important to note that the Lucia Mar School District and County Office of Education currently receive about $55,000 of property tax, and that would not change as a result of the boundary change. The school district boundaries do not change as a result of this process, and they would be not be impacted financially by this change. The reason for the spread, as you see here, the $31,000 to potentially $51,000 loss, is because there's a bit of a gray area in terms of some of the special districts that would have monies transferred from one county to the other. It would require staff from both counties to work through and negotiate those issues. Moving on, it is the staff's recommendation at this point that your board deny this request for four primary reasons. The first, that sheriff and fire protection would not be improved, and that this is the sole purpose for the proposal as stated in the petition. There's a loss of local control of future land use decisions, which could have an impact on county residents. The proposal would establish a confusing boundary line, and there would be a loss of revenue to the county and various agencies of $31,000 to $51,000. In order to deny the request, it is recommended that the board file and approve the attached written protest and adopt the resolution to abandon the proposed boundary change. And that concludes the presentation.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any questions of staff by board members? Mr. Shajan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In your presentation, you did mention that the school does not have any loss as far as the property tax goes, but in writing it does say that the school will lose about $51,000. Can you clarify that, please?
Yes, after the staff report was put together, it was in discussions with the school district, it was found out that they would not be impacted. That's why the staff report references losing potentially $106,000.
So the last statement you had for the county losing 30-plus and the school 50-plus, that should be taken off as far as the $50,000 to the school district because there is no loss to them?
The school districts would retain the $50,000 they currently are allocated.
I know that the Bull Canyon Road is our responsibility. We do get a lot of complaints about garbage dumped on the road. But how about the bridge, Mr. Ufrat, you mentioned that is Santa Barbara County's maintenance. Isn't it ours?
It was ours.
John Ufrat, planning staff. It's my understanding that Santa Barbara County maintains that, although in theory the line between the counties would be at the midpoint of the river, at the point it existed back at the turn of the century. So we probably have a role on the northerly side of the bridge, but beyond that I'm not sure. I think the more substantial part is on the southerly side, and they have kind of a unique design for that bridge, I know, and it's, I think, in good shape, though.
Okay, there was the issue of 45 days.
Right.
For any reason, this was to be continued. Does the 45 days still apply, if that's the choice of the applicant and the board?
per the government codes that guide the minor boundary process, the decision to either approve or deny cannot be delayed beyond 45 days from today.
I know that speaking to a neighbor who lives in our county and their address is Santa Maria, do we know why is that?
The question is that a neighbor of the resident has a Santa Maria address?
And I would assume that so is the applicant, that if we were to write them a letter today, it will be Santa Maria, California, rather than our county or a city name in our county or unincorporated areas of our county, such as Nipomo, maybe?
Yeah, and I believe the reason for that is that the boundaries for the postal service are different than that of county boundaries.
I believe that is true because my former commissioner on parks, I received several phone calls telling me that why would somebody from Santa Maria be commissioned here? And we did find out that this route, this property by the postal service is considered to be part of their Santa Maria routing. I don't have any questions. I have some comments to make, but I'll wait
okay.
The comment period, Madam Chair.
Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one quick question of staff. You mentioned that San Luis Obispo County did add two additional rural crime officers. Do you know if, and that's the result of a grant that we typically get from the state, do you know if Santa Barbara County has improve their service in the same manner?
I do not for sure. I tried to get in touch with some people in Santa Barbara County and wasn't able to do so within the last couple of days. So I'm not sure that if they added rural crime deputies or not.
Thank you. Mr. Linthal, you had your light on. You turned it off.
Mine was with respect to the bridge, and Supervisor Sajjan asked that question.
Okay. Mr. Sajjan, you have another question.
I do. I don't know if Mr. Ufrat had an opportunity to read, if you have received it. We received this proposal this morning from Mr. Morris's organization. Did you have a chance to look at it, or do you know what I'm talking about? If not, I have a copy for you.
John Ufrat, planning staff. We did receive a copy of a letter this morning that relates to this proposal, and it might be more appropriate, or you might want to hear from the applicant first to kind of summarize that. I'm not sure if all board members have a copy of it, or we haven't really thoroughly analyzed it yet, but I think it does certainly change the situation. And I'm betting the applicant will address it, and then we could be better able to respond after that.
Okay, I have no more requests to speak forms or lights up here. So with that, I will open it to the public. The applicant will have 10 minutes to make a presentation. Members of the public will have 3 minutes if you've submitted a slip, and then the applicant will have 5 minutes to respond to anything that was said during the public comment phase. So with that, you're going to be making the presentation, Mr. Morris?
I am, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. My name is Michael Morris, Andre Morris and Buttery, here representing this morning Heber and Carol Parrott, who are both present and sitting behind me. This is a petition under Government Code Section 23,200 for a minor boundary change. The language of the Government Code section really speaks in terms of boundaries no longer meeting the needs of residents. And it was interesting, the last discussion about addresses that Supervisor Sajjan brought up, because if you're familiar with the property, and I think you all are, it very much faces the city of Santa Maria. It sits right naturally, geographically, it looks like it's part of Santa Barbara County as opposed to San Luis Obispo County. The Parrotts have a Santa Maria address. They have Santa Maria telephone numbers. The main road that leads to their residence is Bull Canyon Road, which comes out of Sway Ranch across the Santa Maria River on the bridge that was just discussed and comes into the city of Santa Maria. So naturally, that's where they shop. That's where they tend to conduct their business. The lines that were drawn in this area, I presume 150 years ago when these counties were established, obviously the features on the ground and the cities were all very different than they are today. Central City, which was founded in 1874 and subsequently became the city of Santa Maria, was certainly a whole lot different. I know that. I don't go back quite that far, but I do remember it from the 50s, and it was a much smaller place than it is today. So, and features such as Highway 101, Highway 166, were obviously not there when these lines were drawn. I appreciated the comments by staff with regard to the Lucy Marr School District, the other school district funds. I think there was just a misunderstanding. Those funds would, of course, stay with those school, with the school district and with the other offices of education. So we are talking about an amount of money, something between $30,000 and $50,000. Our calculation was that it was $31,000, but I understand the comment that it would depend upon perhaps some other negotiations. It's our belief that this is a revenue neutral matter, in that services that are now being provided by San Luis Obispo County would not need to be provided, and in particular the maintenance of Bull Canyon Road and the issue of the bridge, which my understanding is that largely the city of Santa Maria has paid for that, although presumably there could be an issue about why San Luis Obispo County isn't paying for the maintenance of that bridge, or half of it at least. In discussing this matter, particularly with Supervisor Ashajin, in whose district this property currently resides, he asked me, quite frankly, the question of, you know, how does this benefit San Luis Obispo County to remove 4,700 acres from our county and put it into Santa Barbara County? And I discussed that with my clients. They felt that was a fair question to ask. And so we did put in writing a specific proposal, and I'd like to take just a few minutes to talk about that. I think your board is well aware of the fact that there is an MOU between the city of San Luis Obispo and the Napomo Community Service District.
That is
San Maria.
City of San Maria.
What did I say?
San Luis.
I'm sorry. City of San Maria. Got to remember where I am. So in order to provide the NCSC with up to 250 acre feet of water per month, the issue then is how to provide delivery of that water. The discussion apparently has centered on hooking into the Santa Maria system, I'll say, over toward the west to a main there to go under the Santa Maria River west of Highway 101, which would require boring a tunnel, I guess, under the river where the pipe would go, pop up on the north side, and then eventually hook into the NCSC system. The Santa Maria has a better water main further over to the west, right where the Sway Crossing is. It is a water main, and we met with the Santa Maria Community Services District and Dwayne Chisholm, and have learned that that would be the preferable place for the water to come from. If it comes from the west, it's likely that there's going to have to be several hundred thousand dollars worth of improvements made to the Santa Maria system, which, of course, will be paid for by the NCSC and its ratepayers in order to be able to get the water up there. So what we considered is a superior alternative to doing this would be to come off the west end with San Maria's water line, go using the Sway Crossing, hang the pipeline under the bridge. That drops you off at Bull Canyon Road, which is the Parrott property. They then own property extending from there up to Highway 101. So they are prepared to grant an easement to this county of San Luis Obispo to run that line from that junction up to 101, where then it would, you know, pretty much be in the same area where it would have been with this other crossing under the river. Beyond that, they are prepared to pay the cost of hanging the line on the bridge to cross the Santa Maria River. That we're told that the cost of going under the Santa Maria River on the western route is probably a $2 to $3 million job. And the Parrotts are prepared, as I say, to pay for across the river and then to provide an easement so that the NCSC can complete the line. It also strikes me that not only would this type of an alternative be economically advantageous to the people in South San Luis Obispo County who are going to depend on this water, but it also is quite likely the superior environmental alternative as well. Hanging the line on an existing bridge to go across the river seems to me to be a far superior way of doing it than tunneling under the Santa Maria River with the disturbance that would be caused by that. Obviously, all that gets shaken out when an EIR is done, when this project eventually, this waterline project is eventually put together. But from my observation of these types of projects, my speculation would be that it is the better way to go. This proposal that I've outlined, I don't think is anticipated by the government code. But it's something that the Parrotts are prepared to do as a gesture to leave everyone with the feeling that nothing in what is being done here would in any way disadvantage San Luis Obispo County. So that's the proposal. I'm pleased to either answer your questions, or Mr. and Mrs. Parrott are here and they can answer your questions as well. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Are there any questions, Mr. Patterson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Morris, a couple of questions. You talk about the hanging the pipeline under the Bull Canyon Road Bridge, and that should be able to occur regardless of the boundary change. And I'm curious to know what the easements have to do with the boundary change. Couldn't your clients still grant easements for the lane of the pipeline through that property to facilitate the connection between Santa Maria and the Pomo Community Services District? I don't get the connection between the boundary change. It could still happen without it, I presume.
Sure. Well, without a doubt, with the cooperation of the City of Santa Maria, you could hang the pipe under the bridge and pay for it, and you could acquire an easement across the Parrott's property by condemnation. What we're saying today is we're prepared to do this as a gesture of appreciation to allowing the boundary change to occur. So it simply is providing money or the equivalent of money, which is an easement that would normally have to be acquired by condemnation or by negotiation, without any consideration. So it's all about just trying to benefit the southern part of San Luis Obispo County and the NCSC, where there is some perception that somehow losing this acreage would disadvantage that area. We don't think that it does, but in order to try to step up and make a gesture that indicates that we're prepared to put our money where our mouth is, we're saying, here's something that this district needs. Let's see if we can help them.
Mm-hmm. Would your clients, if the boundary change does not take place, still be interested in negotiating an easement with NCSD?
Well, I think everything is capable of being negotiated, but the offer here today is to give the easement.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I'd like to thank Mr. Patterson for asking my question. I don't have to ask it. Mr. Lenthal.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Morris, I was writing some notes, and I just want to make sure I'm clear. With respect to hanging the pipe, you indicated that your client would pay for this. This wouldn't be from the NCSD or government funding or anything. This is just a value that you offered today. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Do you have an approximate dollar amount of what you think that's worth or an estimated cost?
We did get a bid on the cost of the pipe. The cost of the pipe itself to cross the river would probably be in the $300,000-plus range, and then you would have to hang it. We don't have a firm bid on what the labor would be involved in doing it. I think, to be honest with you, I think the pipe is more expensive than the labor. It's very expensive.
Okay, I have no further questions. So thank you very much. You'll have 5 minutes at the end.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. Eby, followed by Thomas Gibbons, I think it is.
Yeah. Good morning. My name is Ed Eby. I'm from Napomo. I would ask, since this last-minute proposal came up, and it wasn't in the staff report, that I be given a little bit of additional time to address the proposal for an alternate pipeline to the NCSD's pipeline. So I could add that to the end of my 3 minutes if you would give me that.
About how much would you need? Pardon?
2 minutes at the most.
Okay. You can have 5 minutes.
Okay, thank you. As I mentioned, I'm Ed Eby from Napomo. Last Monday night, the Napomo Community Advisory Council met and discussed this issue and voted unanimously to recommend that you deny this petition. And they mentioned four particular points that I believe they've sent you in a letter. The first particular point was that if the boundary change is allowed, it removes land use planning oversight from the San Luis Obispo County. Any future development of that property outside the jurisdiction of San Luis Obispo County government will not be coordinated and will not be under the same vision and philosophies of the current general plan. Immediate conversion of these agricultural lands to urban residential development is highly likely as a consequence of this boundary change. The second point involves economics and finance. If this property is allowed to develop in another county, San Luis Obispo will lose any impact fees from these developments. They would lose the road impact fees, school construction impact fees, park development, and public safety infrastructure. Part of this property has been converted to agricultural production, specifically avocados. Under the current zoning, this sort of agriculture makes the property eligible for one residence per 20 acres. If you had took the 4,000 acres, this enables them to currently build 200 homes on the present property. Now, under the current impact fees that are in place in Napomo and are likely to be in Napomo, the impact fees will be about $10,000 per residence. If you multiply that by the 200 homes, you could easily see you have the potential right now under current zoning of losing $2 million in impact fees. If the property were rezoned to residential suburban, you could lose $40 million in impact fees. And while these impact fees would be lost if this were in another county, the impacts would still be in place to this geographical area. We'd have the same impact on the roads, the same impact on the parks, schools, and the other infrastructure. Also, the property tax was mentioned of $100,000 per year that would be lost to this. What wasn't mentioned is the increase in property tax that would be likely to be lost if this property is developed. This property tax would be lost both to the county in general and to the Lucia Mar School District. This boundary change could also set a precedent for piecemeal dissolution of prime parts of the county. This change would encourage successive dissections of property from the county and could cause cumulative negative impacts. Up until this proposal I heard this morning, but I haven't seen, I could see no advantage to San Luis Obispo County. for the boundary change. There's no offset or fiscal economic loss had been proposed. No offer of natural resource replacement was made, and no offer of additional water for San Luis Obispo County had been made. Now I'd like to discuss the proposal that I heard this morning. The last time I talked to I'm, by the way, the vice president of the Napomo Community Services District Board of Directors. I'm also the chairman of the Supplemental Water Committee that has the oversight of this project, of the NCSD's Supplemental Water Project. Up until the last time I talked to the general manager, we had received no proposals from anyone about assistance in our Supplemental Water Project as a result of this boundary change. We have an environmental impact study going on right now. We also have other studies going on to determine what the exact cost of this project is going to be, and we're looking at the best alternatives, whether it's tunneling under the river or hanging across the existing 101 bridge. These are all studies that we've been undergoing for about 6 months, and we think we know the best answer, or at least have the best analysis of this right now. And we haven't received no further proposals. So to make any decisions just based on this last-minute resolution, I think, would be hasty. And before the NCSD could say this was a good thing or not, the NCSD should see this proposal and be allowed to review it in detail before you make any decisions just based on a last-minute proposal. So I look forward to denying this petition just based on the basic facts, but if there is additional information because of a proposal, we would be glad to hear it.
Your time is up.
Thank you.
Mr. Lenthal, did you have a question of Mr. Eby?
Before you left, in the letter and what we have heard is an offer, I believe, at 250 acre-feet a month. That comes out to roughly 3,000 acre-feet a year. In your opinion, what would the value of that be if you had to put a dollar amount?
On the pipeline?
On the water.
Well, the water, the MOU we have with Santa Maria is the water is $1,200 an acre foot. But I didn't hear that this proposal is there paying for the water. I heard that they would be assisting in the pipeline and in easements. And I'm not even sure that route for the water would be the one that we would think would be the optimum.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Thomas Gibbons, followed by Michael Wynn.
Madam Chair, Supervisors, my name is Thomas Gibbons. I live in the east end of the Santa Maria Valley. I'm appearing here personally, not for either of my elected positions. I have some concerns of this proposed project. I really didn't initially, but I attended the Santa Barbara County Board of Supervisors meeting and was quite distressed that your staff's report was not made part of their understanding of the scope of this project. Any of us that live here and do this for a living understand there's always, some people call it piecemealing, some people call it oversight. But one of the questions that was asked at the Board of Supervisors meeting in Santa Barbara County, by the way, they voted 5-0 to accept this, was a question of quid pro quo. I see today there's water involved, and water is a big thing in our part of the world. An issue on the Sway Crossing Bridge, the bridge itself is about as long as this room. The Santa Maria River is about as long as this building. And that's dangerously short of a place to hang a piece of pipe. And those of us in Santa Barbara County have been waiting for Santa Barbara County to build a crossing bridge at Tepeske Crossing, at Sway Crossing, and at Bonita School. Many millions of dollars for those bridges. We don't have them yet. The Santa Maria River historically runs every 5 years. Runs big time. Takes a big bridge. And if with the current crossing on the San Luis side of the river, you've got a summer crossing, ground level. On the Santa Barbara County side, you've got a bridge that goes to the water when it flows. So, something to consider. Your attachment C illustrates a little problem. If you initiate this project, it further isolates this property, which extends it out into Santa Barbara County. Now, much of the services are delivered out of Santa Barbara County. It's just an occasional need. I live over in this part of the valley, so I'm very, very familiar with it. Your staff report correctly asked for denial in the scope of this today. I think it's a good decision. I could support this project if some changes were made, and I think the two counties need to work together on interface projects that are against our boundaries, up against the boundaries, and cause issues, especially urban interface issues, between us.
Mr. Gibbons, your time is up.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Linthal, did you have a question, or I forgot to take your name off. Okay. Mr. Wynn?
Good morning again, Madam Chair. My name is Michael Wynn. I live in Napomo. I am a director on the NCSD, and I appreciate your letting us speak to this today. Everyone has been very careful to tell us that this is a minor boundary change, and I encourage you to think of this as minor only in terms of as defined by the law. A 5-mile shift in this area, for example, would take in all of downtown Napomo, and that would still meet the legal standard for a minor change, but certainly not what they have in mind. The common sense tells you that this is a major change. This is a historic boundary. This is a geographic boundary. This is a highly visual boundary. It clearly delineates for anybody to see where Santa Barbara County stops and where San Luis Obispo County starts. To muddy the water on this boundary and to allow Santa Maria to jump the river into this county and continue moving north on Agland, as they're already doing within their own county, you know, would be a very serious mistake. Streets are poor boundaries because people on one side of the street want to be treated the same as the people on the other side of the street. Rivers are not ideal. Actually, watershed boundaries would be ideal. But in this case, the ideal, of course, would include all of Napomo in the Santa Maria watershed, and we're not proposing to secede from the county. You're being asked today to consider this solely on the basis of the protection of agriculture by some marginal enhancement of law enforcement, and your staff has said that that actually doesn't exist. But you're also being asked to pretend that you don't understand the long-term potential of what this boundary change means. If this is developed into urban housing, and we need housing, and I'm not even opposed to housing on this land, I would rather see the housing developed here under your direction with your standards rather than those of Santa Barbara County, particularly the northern end of Santa Barbara County. Hanging a pipeline under that bridge is totally inadequate. I'm very sorry. It would be way low. It would actually be vulnerable during flood times for floating debris. It's potable water, and so our health issues would be there. It's not long enough. It does not go to bank to bank. It would still require Army Corps of Engineers. It would still require fish and game. It would still have to have a full EIR. It would still have to be secure from bank to bank. This would not change that. What it would do is add miles of pipeline down Highway 166 until you get to Bull Canyon, and then further down Bull Canyon.
And
my
your time is up.
Thank
you, Mr. Wynn. Wait a minute, Mr. Wynn.
Mr. Wynn, do we have that aerial for the area? Napomo Community Service District has water lines that come all the way to nearby 166, where the commercial area is?
No.
The area that I believe we called it Area 5 during LAFCO discussions, which we end up having it under your sphere of influence, at the bottom of the map?
No, this is not in our sphere of influence.
Not this one here?
No.
But how far south does your sphere of influence come to?
The sphere of influence west of Highway 101 comes down to the end of the county. It comes all the way to the edge of the river.
To the edge of the river. And I'm looking at this property being on the other side of the river, which already has existing water lines coming from Santa Maria.
Yes.
Would it be able to connect to that end by going under the freeway, not necessarily going under the bridge? Because I know
boring technology is so sophisticated these days that virtually the land on the surface of the river would not be broken at all. It would simply go down on one side and come up on the other side.
I'm not talking about the river. This happened to be on the other side of the river, just as Nipomo is.
Ah.
And if you were able to bring they have existing water lines coming from Santa Maria through the river or that bridge that's in discussion.
They do.
Exist. And from that point, all the way, let's say, to connect to NCST's line to the south end of wherever your line ends, wouldn't that go under 101, but not necessarily under the bridge?
You know, all of those questions would have to be decided if they actually made a proposal to us and we could actually look at the answers. So far, this is very nebulous.
And also the Maria Vista project that comes to the bluffs right above the auto racing area, wasn't that part of the condition of approval for that project to give access to your water lines?
Yes.
So that's all way to highway, almost to 101, if I may say so. And what I can see, if a line was coming under 166 to connect to you, that will bypass the river and the bridge.
I'm sorry, Cacho, yeah. But that's the bridge that they're talking about doesn't even go from bank to bank.
I know what they're talking about, and I know what we haven't talked about. I'm just bringing it up at this time to help us start thinking.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have no more requests to speak forms. I have one comment from Eric Greening, who had to leave, and he said, I do support staff recommendation for denial. So with that, I will close it to the public. No. Mr. Morris, you have 5 minutes. Sorry.
That's quite all right, Madam Chair, and I won't need 5 minutes. I think we've made our proposal. I'm happy, again, to answer any questions. I hope it was clear the route we were proposing, which would run along the Parrott's property. And if it's not clear in anybody's mind, I'm happy to put a map on and show it. But other than that, I don't have any additional comments.
We're okay. I'm okay.
Okay. I have no request to do that, so thank you very much. Thank you for your comments. I do have one comment I want to make before we get into the general discussion. This is for Mr. Gibbons. Our San Luis Obispo Council of Governments met last week with Santa Barbara CAG, Association of Governments, and the exchange of information between the two counties on the areas that would be affected if we do something in our county or if Santa Maria does something that would affect our county. So those, your concerns are being addressed, and we just have to now make sure that we go forth and do what we talked about. So thank you. With that, are there any comments? I don't have any requests to speak for lights.
I'll be the last one, Madam Chair.
Oh, okay. Mr. Patterson, you're reaching. Turn your mute button off.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that the staff report and the comments we've heard from the Nipomo Community Advisory Council and the Nipomo Community Services District, they all speak for themselves very clearly. I think that This proposal to change the boundary is a bad idea. I don't think that streets are a good delineator between counties. Approval of this proposal would fragment that area of the county and make the land difficult to distinguish between Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo, and it was mentioned that this is a revenue neutral exchange, though Mr. Eady pointed out that it wouldn't necessarily be that if the land were developed. But even if it isn't developed, we still have to provide the services to the area that surrounds this piece of property. So we would still have an obligation. We would still be down there. And as Mr. Gibbons pointed out, and Supervisor Bianchi addressed the issue, that Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo counties are now talking to each other, and we hope to continue that and to do that on a regular basis. And I think we both counties need to be cognizant of what the other counties are doing and how activities on one side of the line impact the people that live on the other. And what would be more appropriate in my mind is for this area to be looked at comprehensively and not be driven by property owners, but by good land use planning and a mutual agreement and mutual decisions by the agencies and the government of both counties. So, again, I think the staff report speaks for itself. It's just ill-timed and ill-conceived to make this particular boundary change.
Okay, Mr. Linthal?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Following up on Supervisor Patterson's comments, one of the things that concerns me is the unknown of what's going to happen in this election, whether Mission County evolves or whether it doesn't. And I'm sure we have plenty of legal staff here that probably could take the rest of the day debating or discussing the pluses or minuses of that. Another thing is we were given this morning an additional document that unfortunately staff didn't have time to review, so in fairness to them, even though it does change somewhat the dynamics here of what the applicant is willing to do, what I would like to see is I would like to see the applicant come back after the June election, say until July 1st, and this is fairness because he's doing this and he's already paid his fee. I would even support that we waive a fee to hear this again, but to allow staff more time to look at this and especially any other offers or information they have. Following up on Supervisor Bianchi's comment, there are some issues that could be possibly addressed by talking with Santa Barbara County, with Santa Barbara City. I think the additional time for all staffs, be they be Santa Barbara City, Santa Barbara County, San Luis County, and other players involved, could bring back a more complete package so we could make a better decision. So that would be my preference, is to see this come back after July.
Well, I'm not going to support the boundary change, and the reason I was sort of a little bit ambivalent, but I don't believe that the Napoma Community Services District has been involved in the discussions to the point that they should have been. They're intimately involved in the water issues, et cetera, in the Napomo area, and if they haven't been involved in these discussions, and the North Coast, Napomo Community Advisory Council, the North Coast, we have two NCACs, and I'm sorry, mine is North Coast, Concho's is Napomo Community, and they definitely are not in favor of this, so I really can't support it. With that,
anybody else?
I have no other lights.
Okay. As we hear everybody speaking, it is quite a difficult decision to make. We have some offers. Folks who live in the territory, they do consider themselves as part of Santa Maria. As we heard, their addresses are Santa Maria. Their phone numbers are Santa Maria. Where do we go from here? And, of course, from early on, my question was, what's in it for us, for the county of San Luis Obispo? We have an offer. We don't want to give land away. On the other hand, we need to also put ourselves in the landlord's position to see what are his vision or where he'd rather do business with. I've been on the site, and it's very difficult to say that we are still in the San Luis Obispo County. I've seen a lot of new avocado trees planted. Just driving through, you know that you're in a land of avocados and not necessarily a land that at this time desired to be developed regardless of the future. And we're not here to talk about can it be or it shouldn't be. But water is as much of a quality asset to have as land itself. At this time, if the board or the majority would support a discussion to take place to look into the offer that's been put on the table with the involvement of our administration, planning department, public works, Mr. Ogren is here in the audience, who has worked many hours on water issues, watersheds. I would also like to invite the chair of the NCSD, and he may appoint one or two individuals from that board to see if there is any weight to what's been offered to us today. Now, I know that this is going to be quite a bit of legwork to all of us to get involved and bring something back to the table, and it could be that the denial of the project. But by continuing this, we're not saying that I guarantee that the majority still will be supportive of the concept that we might come back with. And it's an opportunity that at least I look into it favorably, to look into it, to see what else can come to the table, if this is all what we can out of it. Looking at the map, it is very difficult to say that there are ways and means that maybe Santa Barbara County can serve better, because still south of this property, still in the Santa Barbara County, but it looks like in the Santa Barbara County, but it is in our county. I know that the Sheriff's Department were short one time on enforcing or offering services to the theft that was occurring. Thanks to the Sheriff Hedges, he's done an excellent job to get us two additional deputies to look into those affairs. So with that, the only catch I have, and Mr. Lindholm or Mr. Baring, you might be able to help us out, I don't see how quickly we can come back. And well, Mr. Hollander, if you would like to make a comment, if
I have a comment,
I don't see. Sure, you're welcome to make that. If 45 days is doable, or we have to go, I hear Mr. Lentol proposes that we come back after the elections, and I don't know how the majority feels about the dates.
You could continue it within the 45-day period. The question would be, would that be enough time to accomplish what you'd hope to accomplish? And that would include a change in the nature of the analysis under CEQA, because it was originally determined that since this was a boundary change, only that it would not be a project. But with this proposal from the property owner, it would appear that a CEQA analysis is required. So you could continue within the 45-day period, or you could deny it and continue discussions and have the property owner come back with a new petition after the election.
Okay. Mr. Patterson?
Yeah, my concern is relative to trying to bring it back and work all these pieces together and fit them together in the short period of time that we have, is that it was pointed out NCSD has already begun the investigation of moving water, transferring water from Santa Maria to the Napomo Community Services District, and they've got an EIR in progress, which will be looking at alternative routes, one of which could be this one. And I think it's prudent to let that process run its course. And, you know, we do have the Mission County, Santa Barbara County issue coming onto the ballot, and I don't know that we want to try to make a decision and second-guess what the residents of Santa Barbara County are going to do, and it would change the outcome of what we do should they create another county down there. So I think it only makes sense to give the process the time it needs to work through and address all the issues that were raised. So it seems to me that the prudent thing to do is to go ahead and deny this request, and if in the course of the next several months the applicant can work with NCSD and the Napomo Community Advisory Group and get some of the answers of these questions raised today answered, and then bring it back.
Even though we deny it today, that doesn't preclude the applicant from coming back in the future after all the discussions and the election, et cetera, have taken place.
So, as the light on.
Mr. Ovid.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The only concern I have, and I doubt that this letter that was presented by the applicants really is pertinent to the issue today, is that we're looking at a piece of this and a piecemeal. When you look at the whole picture, you really need to take the total boundary and bring it back. And I disagree. Roads make boundaries. Everything makes boundaries. But you have kind of a thumb sticking out there, and you're only taking a portion of it. That I think that if you move towards getting a more complete boundary move, which I understand may click a different process, but that should be in your discussions if you're going to continue this thing. The issue of water is always out there. I mean, it's never going to go away. I think the major issue is this is only a portion of that total thumb that's sticking out there, and I think we should be looking at that whole picture.
Mr. Linthal.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I guess my last comment is that I doubt that all this discussion is going to be able to be or to take place in 45 days. We're talking about NCSD with Santa Barbara City, with the county, with all these people. And I realize I'm new, but I haven't seen anything move that fast before, where we've had all these people come together in 45 days in time to give staff a chance to respond. So I feel, and I want to repeat what I said earlier, that by adding this additional time, by taking advantage of a date that we have already set up for an election that's going to take place next year in June, that should give sufficient time for all parties to come together, get all the players involved, and come back with a more complete project or staff work. And if it triggers something else, that's part and parcel to the process. But my comfort level says that we're going to have more information and have a better proposal if we go that route.
Okay, we're ready for a motion.
Thank you. May I ask a question to Mr. Morris?
Yes, you may.
You've heard the discussion that's going on. I know it's an issue for your client, the 45 days, but because it's the law, and what we hear here, as I'm very supportive of the discussion taking place by the Board of Supervisors, there are concerns about the June election. If the county was to split, this becomes an island, even though there are people out there willing to bet money that it will not split, but that's another issue. Do you care to comment or any observations from your point of view?
Well, we don't think it's a problem with Mission County, and you know, I realize it was addressed in the staff report, but I mean, I think everybody realizes that if Mission County should be created, and none of us have any idea whether it will or will not, that clearly then there would have to be a second step to put this property into Mission County, because no one would want it to be an island. It would make no sense whatsoever. So we have not viewed that as an obstacle. You know, with regard to the issue of waiting till, and that seems to be the reason to wait till June, while I appreciate Supervisor Linthal's comments about things always seem to take longer than they should, my experience is also that when you have 45 days to get something done, you get it done in 44 days. If you got 6 months to get something done, you get it done in 6 months less 1 day. So could we do what needs to be done in 45 days? Yeah, I think we could. I think that you could put us back on the agenda for 45 days and let us come back and see what we've gotten done, assuming there's good faith and goodwill on the part of everybody involved. I believe that my clients would like to see it continue and have it done within the 45 days. So we would certainly pledge ourselves to do the best we can. I guess if it doesn't get done in that time, then the direction by the board will be clear.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Eby, NCSD has an EIR going forward. Do we have a time frame as when would that be ready, since that was a concern addressed by this board?
Yes, Ed Eby from the POMO. The NCSD's EIR for the supplemental pipeline is scheduled to be done in the first quarter of 2006. And that EIR looks at several ways to cross the river to bring water from Santa Maria. One of the ways is across the 101 bridge, and then the other ways are beneath the river south of the bridge, or rather west of the bridge. None of those alternatives, however, under consideration, are north or rather inland and east as this proposal, which I haven't seen, appears.
Why don't you, at this time, give you a copy of the proposal. We'll pass it down to you if you wish to have a copy taken. Okay. Mr. Robert has one.
How many do you want? Mr. Patterson has a question. Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple of questions regarding the 45 days. Does that start today, or has that already started? And I'd like the answer to that question. And also, I would like Mr. Alanda to speak to the fact of how, if we have staff available to work on this and planning, and they're working on this, what might they not be working on that we have scheduled?
Vic Alanda, Director of Planning and Building. In response to Supervisor Patterson's question, obviously, if you give the department a directive to work closely with the applicant and their counsel, as well as all the other agencies and departments connected to this request, we would, again, based on your direction, we would dedicate staff to it. However, as you all know, you would be directing me to take resources away from other projects, and I'm sure you would, you know, you're doing that.
Thank you. And Mr. Bakshi, the 45-day question?
45 days. It's November 18th is 45 days from today.
Yes, Ray Bearing from County Council. The answer is 45 days from today's date. It's 45 days from the date that was specified in the original resolution setting this hearing, and so that starts today.
It seems like with what we have coming to us, and I doubt it if we will have a response in place in 45 days. And I think it will be a logical thing to wait as what the NCSD's EIR will be addressing. And we can continue this to 45 days and come back to, just to tell us that you haven't accomplished the goal, and you have to deny it at that time, because that's the only thing in front of us that you cannot accomplish 45 days. You will deny it, but that doesn't stop the applicant from requesting this item to be reheard, correct? Okay, then my motion will be that we bring this back right after NCSD's EIR has been prepared, circulated, and if the issue of the vote of splitting Santa Barbara County has taken place, and that's sometime beginning of June, and sometime probably end of June, I think will give us the correct time to look into this more favorably as what is the benefit to the county from all points of views.
Mr. Edge.
My council might want to address the same thing. I think that the motion that you need to make, assuming you don't want to continue it for 45 days, is to deny the request, and then the rest of Supervisor Ashajian's concern about bringing it back would be essentially a suggestion to the applicants that they return with a fresh application at whatever kind of time you thought appropriate. But you can't technically say move to bring this back on a date certain beyond 45 days.
No, it would be November 15th, which is within the 45 days.
I got the sense that Supervisor Ashajian was looking for a further out date.
Right. Madam Chair, the precise motion to be made would be to file the attached written protest and to adopt the resolution abandoning the proposed boundary change. And then you could add what Supervisor Chajian had to say, and that is come back after the EIR. But you would have filed the protest and denied the change.
I think that's Madam Chair. Cleanest.
Yes.
Mr. Robert.
When we talked about this, Mr. Lindholm, yesterday, you used the word with or without prejudice. I forgot. If the motion was made, so that what it does is it really kind of opens the door.
There's nothing to preclude the applicant from filing a new petition.
So it's without prejudice automatically. Okay.
So move to deny the project with understanding that there'll be a reapply to us and a direction given to our administrative staff whoever Mr. Regis chooses, if it be Dan or somebody else, member of the planning department, member of the public works, will invite NCHD to participate, and I'll see that those meetings are taking as soon as possible to see to start working with the applicant more seriously.
I'll second that motion.
Madam Chair, the precise language should be to file the attached written protest and adopt the resolution abandoning the proposed boundary change.
So be it, Mr. Lennon.
I forgot I was chair. May we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Asagian.
Aye.
Mr. Lenthal.
Aye.
Mr. Ovitt.
Aye.
Mr. Patterson.
Aye.
Mrs. Bianchi.
Yes. With that, we will take a 15-minute break and return at about 2 minutes after 11. Session. May we have an introduction of item C2, please?
Item C2 is a hearing to consider a contract with Aircon Energy, Inc. in the amount of $7,432,980 for the design and installation of infrastructure improvements and interior renovations of the former General Hospital facility. Recommend approval and instruct chairperson to sign.
Thank you. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. I'm Dwayne Leib, County General Services Director, and with me is Robert Bada, our Building Facilities Manager. Hopefully we can present this rather complex concept to you this morning. Your board is familiar with design contracts. We award them frequently. Also, you're familiar with bidding documents that your board authorizes for public notice for bids and the award of those bids and contracts. This is different. This is something that we're still quite new at. This will be the fifth project we've done under what is termed design build. We basically negotiate a complete design and construction project using the RFP process. In this particular case, we had an RFP with three proposals, and the subject contractor this morning, Aircon Energy Incorporated, was chosen by committee. This project basically retrofits the old hospital on Johnson Avenue from a hospital building into an office building, which increased the occupancy density by 2 to 3 times. And it was a perfect candidate to consolidate the energy use in that building. The project basically is made up of two major projects augmented by two smaller projects. The first project is a board-approved project in 03-04. It was titled the Health Campus Infrastructure, which basically relates to all the energy uses of the building, the retrofitting of the old inefficient leaking windows and such. The second big project was the Health Campus Improvements, which renovates the interior for office space usage. And that was augmented by countywide ADA for $250,000 and countywide maintenance for $125,000. Our current appropriation that we are working with this morning is $8,275,000. Out of that $8,275,000, we are recommending an award to Aircon Energy Incorporated under the negotiated amount for what is called an ESP, an energy service provider, of which they are, for $7,432,980. And in that project, it includes the final engineering design services, installation of upgraded infrastructure, and interior space modifications for this hospital. Our projected construction timeline is approximately 16 months. The government code section that allows us under an energy service provider to go to design build is government code 4217.12. And under this government code section, if we can show a 35-year payback or less, we are allowed to do design build. In this particular case, the energy audit showed a 25.4-year payback, and it's well within that 35-year period. That government code also necessitates that your board have this public hearing and certify the results of that and make this award. Previous design-build contracts we did under this government code section, if you recall the old courthouse, we did the air conditioning retrofit of the old courthouse. We did the cogeneration, which is currently providing utilities for the government, the old government complex and this government complex. And we did energy upgrades and retrofits to probation and health. So this would be the fifth project under this government code. It just as a sidebar, your board may be aware that there's been bills proposed and approved in the Senate and in the Assembly and the state legislature that include design-build authorization as of this coming January for 22 counties, which includes San Luis Obispo County. So I believe you will see more of these design-build non-energy-related projects coming to your board in the future. It's a very good way of doing business for us. Your board should be aware that we do not have the complete project funded at this time relative to what's called FF&E, that is furnishings, fixtures, and equipment. There wasn't enough in the budget to do it at this time. We have approximately 16 months to work it out, and I will be working with the admin office for a proposal to your board about what to do with that particular line item. Also, we still don't know the final configuration of the health department. That's under discussion right now, and we will need to know the exact titles and floor plan to complete this project for the interiors. So we're essentially completing a building, and we'll have to move in the people at the end. The final product will be a very satisfactory office building that we will have converted from a very unsatisfactory old hospital building. And with that, I'll receive any questions. And Robert Bada is here also, who has put this amazing program together, and he has all the details in his head.
Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one quick question. I saw no reference to any seismic retrofitting or upgrading, and we know that's going on all over the county now.
Sure.
And I just want to be sure that we're not going to run into that down the road after investing all this money in that building. Are we good to go seismically up there?
Well, we are, Supervisor Patterson, Robert Bada, Facility Manager. We are good to go. It is not a URM qualified building. That means it's not an unreinforced masonry building. It's an old building, but it does not qualify for retrofits.
Thank you.
I have no more lights. I have no request to speak forms on this issue. So I will open and close it to the public all at once and bring it back for discussion or a motion. Somebody.
I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion if there's no discussion. I thought Supervisor Patterson was going to discuss this. No. I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
May we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Linthal.
Aye.
Mr. Patterson.
Aye.
Mr. Ovitt.
Aye.
Mr. Asajian.
Aye.
Mrs. Bianchi.
Yes.
Thank you all.
It's a new era. May we have an introduction of item C3, please?
Item C3 is a hearing to consider an appeal of the South County Road Improvement Fee by Peter Malley for a project located at 425 Victory Way in the South County Road Fee Area, 4th District. Recommend denial of appeal.
May we have a staff report, please, Mr.
Thank
Marshall.
You, Supervisor Bianchi, members of the board, Richard Marshall, Department of Public Works. The item before you today involves the appeal of the road improvement fee associated with a building permit. Peter Malley has applied for a permit to construct a secondary residence within the South County Road Improvement Fee area and has filed an appeal of the road improvement fee associated with that permit. His letter is attached to the staff report, and in the report we've provided responses to the points which are raised. I'd like to point out a correction to one line in the staff report that was brought to my attention today. I'm sorry I didn't catch it sooner. I don't have numbers on my pages, but I believe it'll be page 3 in your copy. near the top, it says in the letter attached as Exhibit A, Mr. and Mrs. Coonley raised several issues. This reveals that this item is so similar to the previous item on this topic that was heard by your board that I got caught copying and editing from the previous staff report. The issues raised are very similar to those in the prior appeal, and so that's how I got caught on that little flub. That should say Mr. Malley has raised these points, and the points raised are an accurate summary of his points of appeal. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions? I see no lights, so I assume there are no questions. On an appeal, our regular format is the appellant will have 10 minutes maximum to make a presentation. Members of the public then have 3 minutes. Actually, the applicant is the county.
Well, Supervisor,
I mean, so I don't have to go to an applicant because you've already given your staff report.
Yes, thank you.
I'm thinking out loud, which I shouldn't be doing. The appellant, Mr. Malley, I believe it is, has 10 minutes. Members of the public have 3 minutes, and then Mr. Malley has 5 minutes to respond. You don't have to take all the time if you don't want to.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Board. I do have a plot plan here. Is there a way to project that on the screen or display it, or could I just show it to you?
Mr. Marshall will help you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I planned for 3 minutes, so I think the 10 minutes we're good to go.
Okay, and you have to give your name for the record, even though we know who you are.
I'm Peter Malley, and I live at 425 Victory Way in Arroyo Grande address, but it's actually county, as you guys know, rural property. It's interesting that I was here 5 years ago fighting to even get a permit to build due to the moratorium on this water issue, and that I had gotten to know most of you personally back then in the effort to try to get our property developed because we'd already bought it with everything we owned and then couldn't build on it. So I'm back now today to add on to that property. We built all we could afford to build back then. Since then, my daughter has been married, and my son-in-law is in the National Guard, served there for 14 months and came back and is now staying with us and has been for a couple of years. So what we're trying to do now is look at how we can add housing for them comfortably instead of squeezing them into our little 1,700-square-foot house. We looked at adding a second story. We looked at adding on to the building to one side or the other. Due to the way the property's configured and due to the fact that there's a proposed barn in this area here,
slide it up if you can.
But there's a proposed barn next to the existing structure.
And then you have to go back to the microphone so we can get you on the record.
Thank you. There's a proposed barn for the adjacent to the existing structure, and the barn has to be in the middle of the property due to the 100-foot setback requirements for a barn in that area of the county. So we couldn't add on to the house that way. The house wasn't designed to have a second story added originally, so the footings and the 2x4 structural walls are really marginal if they could even be approved. And we're not real two-story people living out in the country. We like the idea of being in a single-story residence. So what we really wanted to do is make this as low a cost of project as possible. When Heather and David found out they couldn't afford to buy a house in San Luis County and they wanted to stay close by, they have their horses on the property, and Heather's real big into equestrian and has talked to her husband into writing as well. We were looking for the most cost-effective way to do that, and so we offered to let them build on our property, however that would happen. What we've come up with is what you see, is we're adding a 783-square-foot structure adjacent, not directly adjacent to the house because of where the barn is situated, but on the other side of the property. So it ends up becoming a second dwelling. My point, when I looked at the road fee that was proposed or in the schedule at $6,702, that was after $6,009 for permits, $1,684 for school fees, and that doesn't include the structural and architectural engineering at $3,500. You had the $6,702. We're at $14,000 before the engineering and the structural, which takes it to $20,000, and we haven't broke ground yet. It's a 783 square foot storage shed. It's a one bedroom structure. So it just seemed right off the bat that the fee was a little out of proportion. In studying the fee, it is clear that the fee is the same whether I was building a 10 bedroom house with 10 car garage or a granny that could be eventually for myself and my wife when they have children and move into the bigger house. We have five existing people living on the property now. We'll have five people living on the property when we're done with the structure. There will be no additional road traffic. Someday we'll move into that house and the kids will move into the other house. Again, no additional road traffic. Can we guarantee that somebody won't do something with the property at some other date in the future? Of course not. Could we have built another 1,700 square feet on top of the existing structure and had no road fee and rented it out to another entire family? Yes, we could. So there seems to be some sort of an imbalance and unfairness. A discussion I had with a gentleman earlier saying that the state is really promoting the idea of people building grannies as low-cost housing on existing properties. It doesn't promote grannies when the fee is the same, $6,702, for a one-bedroom house versus a six-bedroom house or a 10-bedroom house. So what I petition to you is that the fee could be unfair in that sense and in that light. I also propose that this is not a new development. This property was developed in 2000, as most of you know, and the road fees for this property were already paid. So now we're paying road fees again, as if we were starting from scratch and there was no existing development. It was just a dirt lot, which is not the case. I think that really what it boils down to, you know, I originally thought I would ask for a waiver. I don't think that a waiver is fair because it could potentially be occupied by somebody else down the road and it could generate additional traffic. But what I think is completely fair is that it won't generate any more than what somebody could live in that property. The county will never allow us to expand that structure to some number greater than 800 square feet. Those are the rules and the laws. Right now, on a 2.5-acre parcel, is that we can only build this 800-square-foot house unless we have city water or city sewer. There is no plans for city water or city sewer ever in that area. We're on well. We're on septic. We're committed to staying to that level no matter what. So if it's a one-bedroom structure that we're talking about, it's a granny house, truly granny, couldn't we consider looking at that fee structure and changing it or modifying it to something that was fair or more commensurate with the actual development that is taking place? And would you consider that change today? Thank you.
Thank you. I have
questions for him.
Oh, yes, Mr. Shajan.
Thank you. Mr. Molly, you spoke of the barn and the buffer zone. What are the ag activities around you?
On our property?
Or around your property.
Oh, neighboring properties?
Right.
We have some open area, which we've tried to maintain as well on the front side of our property. Other neighbors have open fields. The neighbor in front of us has two houses, one fairly large, one small, of course, a granny, and then a steel building that he uses for vehicles and whatever.
So the buffer zone was required because of a past agriculture activities?
The 100-foot setback for the barn?
Right.
That's just in the rules and regulations for a barn. When just reviewing that with planning and building, they say if you are going to put in a barn, you have to have a 100-foot setback. There is a neighbor directly to the east of us that would be impacted by moving the barn closer to the property line. And just due to consideration for that neighbor, it would be best to honor that 100-foot setback.
Thank you, but I think that's... And I don't want to ask that question to Mr. Marshall, even though it's great to see you here today. What if the planning department is listening to our conversation, maybe be able to come and help us understand the buffering, because I don't think that buffer zone is the law unless Mr. Marshall has some input on that.
No, I'm sorry, I don't know it directly. What I understand from the testimony is simply a land use ordinance setback, not an agricultural buffer zone.
Is it 100 feet?
That's what's being described to you, yes.
Mr. McNulty?
I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to that either. I think, as Mr. Marshall has indicated, I believe it's just a setback that's required. Normally, we wouldn't impose a buffer on the same piece of property.
So I'm wondering if there's an issue here of what he chose to do, maybe with the barn, and if the setback can be waived, then is this a moot point? And because in the past, Mr. Molly, we have had quite a few people that said we paid our fees. Why should we pay again? For all the same reasons that you're giving us as, yes, in the future, somebody else can be there. It could be a rental. And this is the bottom choice of the community who said you definitely apply. And even though you have paid for the your main dwelling, which I remember very good memories where we work on that because you were going through some difficulties with the growth cap and all that.
Right.
And happy to say we're able to make it happen. And more than a dozen of those waivers have come in front of us, and none of them have been successful. But if there is a way to deal with your other proposal as what we can do with your existing barn and the buffer zone or whatever the setback is, maybe there is more of a way to help you there than otherwise, but I can't seem to have an answer here today.
Well, the rules in the guidelines from planning and building specify the 100-foot setback for a barn, and everything that we've done in that site plan was engineered around that because that was something we looked into before we ever got the original building permit. To go back and re-engineer the property now is
if that's your choice, I'm not requesting that.
No, I know, and
you do that.
I respect that. I'm just saying that.
But you brought it up, and I want to be sure
about
that
already, and it would be very difficult, even if we could appeal the 100-foot setback and say that the barn could be 70-foot or 50-foot and try to build the other house close enough to where we could attach a wall or a hallway and then call it an addition as opposed to a separate residence, and that would bypass the road fee. But the house would be the same, the structure would be the same, the number of people dwelling there would be the same as what we're proposing. So really what we're saying is that we don't have to pay the road fee. It's attached. If it's detached, we have to pay a road fee. And that's the part that I'm trying to illustrate is being somewhat unreasonable and illogical. And then the other part I'm trying to appeal to you is that the amount of the fee is the same whether I was building a brand new house on an existing dirt lot with 10 rooms and a large family, and that isn't what we're doing. So I really, really, really believe whether you grant anything on this for today or not, it's highly unfair to anybody and everybody who has come before you and will come before you in the future.
We have one more question. Mr. Patterson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Following along the lines of Supervisor Sajjan, I am curious to know if that barn indeed could be moved, and if it were, it would give you the opportunity to expand the house where the barn typically sits now. And I guess they're looking into that, and we might be able to address it that way. But you keep referring to a granny house. I'm curious to know, is this structure that you're proposing, granny houses typically have no cooking or kitchen facilities. They're really just a living space for a family member. But is that what you're proposing, or are you
proposing
a complete self-contained unit?
No, what I am proposing is still called a granny by planning and building definition. Granny is just indicating that it's a small, limited in size, 800-square-foot unit. It is self-contained. It has kitchen, baths, can have a garage, living room, dining, whatever a normal larger house would have, but it's very small and compact compared to a regular residence. So that is planning and building
for him.
Verbiage, not my own.
Thank you. I have one request to speak form from the public. Mr. Wynn? And if Mr. Wynn says anything you would care to respond to, Mr. Malley, you have that opportunity.
Madam Chair, this is Mike Wynn from Napomo. Mr. Malley raises a decent point, I think. and that is that road impact fees should be in proportion to the amount of traffic that's being generated, and possibly the number of slots in garages would be a better way of portioning out impacts than simply saying so much per residence. But currently, under your present regulation, these impacts are normally tagged onto new buildings. We charge supplemental water fees for granny houses, secondary homes, and there's no question about what secondary homes do generate more people living there and more traffic. So although I think he's given us a sort of a kernel of an idea that might be useful when you go about revising it, I do not encourage you to change your standards today.
Mr. Wynn, by name, Madam Mayor.
Yes.
The same philosophy then applies if he was to build above his house and use more water and more sewer is the same as and get away with additional fees.
That's right. If a one-inch line was enough for both, for the addition, we would not charge additional.
But ANCSD's rules and regulations are such that additional dwelling is when the new cost kicks in.
That's right.
Thank you. With that, I will close it to the public. Mr. Malley, is there anything you would like to respond to? You have 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mike, for your comments. My comment in response to that is that, again, we're not adding any additional traffic. No additional people are going to be living on the property. Exhibit A, Exhibit B, this is not NCSD territory. We have a water well with an inch and a quarter line. There's plenty of water supply in that area. We won't be using any additional water to speak of other than maybe some of the economy and using one dishwasher versus two and one washing machine versus two. Same number of showers, same number of baths. So I really find it hard to believe that other than all the other fees that we're paying and contributing to, including school fees, that we really need to pay another $6,702 for road fees. The other thing that I didn't mention before is there's a lot of other new development in the area, and I'm talking truly new development. As you know, the Woodlands was approved by this board a year or so ago and is now in full development. There's 1,100 to 1,300 homes going in. A lot of them are already built as we speak, model homes and so forth. The traffic already being generated by that project is huge, and I hope and I know that the Woodlands will be contributing some major road fees to help with the Willow Road extension, as well as road enhancements on Highway 1 and Calendar Road where I live. The fact that we're not generating any additional traffic but would pay the same fee that the Woodlands would pay for one of those big houses on a golf course in a fairly exclusive area, again, is very unfair, in my opinion. And I thank you for this opportunity to appeal the fee.
And thank you very much. With that, I will bring it back to the board for discussion and or a motion.
Is there any other discussions?
No, you have no other lights.
I listen to what Mr. Malley has to say, and I want to thank you for your son-in-law serving our nation. This is a difficult task for us, and I just don't see how we can change the rules in the middle of the game, so to say. And it's not fair for all those who have come to us with very similar objectivity to what we do. With that, I'm going to support the staff's recommendation.
Yes, sir. There's been all in favor?
Aye.
Yes. The opposed? None. I'm sorry about that. But we have to follow the rules that are in place today. So with that, the next item is closed session.
Well, we have our presentation.
Well, that was canceled. We're not doing that today. So is there anyone in the public who would wish to address the board on a closed session item? Seeing no one, we will go into closed session and return at 2:00.
You're going to do it downstairs?